Chapter 12. May 9th of year 19. Adam. The ice passage, presumably created by Marchenko II, ends suddenly. Adam scans his environment. He seems to have arrived in the large lake dug into the ice. The scanner also tells him the alien building is directly above. He has to be careful. Marchenko II probably took longer than he did, so Adam should catch up with him at some point. Then he will have to be prepared. Therefore, he first swims slightly above the bottom of the ice lake. His helmet light illuminates the floor, which seems to be covered with trash. Suddenly, he discovers a circular pattern. This can't be a coincidence. Trash wouldn't just sink to the bottom like that. Was somebody trying to leave a message for him? Or is it a trap by Marchenko II? Adam sees a particularly large piece of scrap exactly in the center of the circle. He cautiously approaches, then hesitates. He's almost certain Marchenko II created the circle and placed the object in the middle. But why? He cannot know that somebody is following him, so it ought not to be a trap. More probably, the AI placed such a noticeable pattern around the piece in order to easily find and pick it up on his way back. Then it must be something interesting, at least interesting enough to mark it with such a circle. Adam dives all the way down. The object is as flat as a flounder. He touches it. It seems to be made of metal. On the sides are the remnants of 6 legs in total. Aside from lacking 2 leg attachment sites, it reminds him of a scorpion's body that had its legs and tail torn off. And indeed, he then sees something like the remains of a tail at one end of the body. Obviously, though, this is a technical product and not an animal. Was it perhaps constructed by his Marchenko, the real one? If it was not made by aliens. Adam examines it from all sides. If it once had a tail, there must be data connections into the now-severed body part. Perhaps he could find out what this thing saw? It looks like Marchenko II did not take the time to do that. That might give him an advantage. He would prefer to test his idea right here and now. It won't work in the water, though, due to short circuits. Adam looks through his tool bag and finds a piece of thin plastic with an area of about 1 square meter. As a test, he blows some bubbles of his breath into it. Perfect. The material is airtight. He puts a piece of scrap on each of the 4 corners. Then he fills the plastic completely, creating an air-filled dome. This is going to be his workshop, even though handling things inside there won't be so easy. First, he gathers his tools outside the dome. He needs at least 2 cables and a universal adhesive. In the tool bag, he finds a longer piece of insulated wire, from which he cuts 2 pieces. Then he looks for possible data connections at the rear end of the strange object. He identifies 5 metallic points that could serve as contacts. Therefore, he cuts off another 3 pieces of wire. Within the dome, he will have to connect these to the contact points, using the universal adhesive. While he does not have the greatest view of his work area, he manages to do it. The adhesive has to harden for 30 seconds. Then he checks his work. The wires are firmly attached. Now the actual evaluation can start. He takes the universal device from his arm. It has 2 external inputs hidden under a waterproof cover. He must only open this cover in the open air, meaning inside his improvised tent. Then he has to connect 2 of the 5 cables extending from the end of the object with the external inputs, hoping to read some data. There are 10 possibilities of connecting 2 inputs with 2 of the 5 cables, if the order does not matter. He checks these 10 variations in a minute, without any result, just to be sure he repeats the tests, but nothing happens. The object seems to be completely dead, even though he sees a small amount of heat radiating from it when he uses the infrared view. Perhaps it needs all its energy to preserve its data? It should be possible to change that. He still has enough energy in his suit batteries to give this thing a bit of it. By now he is convinced that his Marchenko, not the aliens, created this object. He imagines extraterrestrial technology as something much more exotic than this odd-looking thing. He diverts part of his suit energy to his universal device. Of course, that runs the risk of damaging sensitive data circuits that might have been designed for lower voltage. Yet Marchenko probably was efficient in designing this thing, with little difference between power and data circuits. The only real risk would be that no energy gets through. Adam once again tests every cable combination. On the 4th try, electricity is flowing. Now he needs to be patient. Would 15 minutes be enough to make the electronics of this object work again? He waits anxiously for something to happen. He hopes Marchenko did not encrypt the information in such a way that he won't be able to access it. Adam shifts his feet nervously. He needs to keep his hands inside the little air-filled tent so he can't move very much. Is he just imagining it? Or is the suit heater not as effective as before? Yes, he feels the cold rising from his feet. Then he checks the oxygen supply. He shouldn't run out of air, as the building is right above him. Please, Marchenko, let me access your data, he thinks. I need every advantage I can get, because Marchenko, too, is not an easy opponent. Adam looks up into the darkness. Somewhere up there are Eve and Marchenko, unaware of the danger threatening them. It is 14 minutes, so he has to count to 60 one more time. At that moment, his universal device vibrates. This means that it must have received data. It has worked. He would like to pull it out of the tent right away, but first he has to remove the cables and carefully close the waterproof cover. He concentrates on working slowly and carefully. He must not spoil things now. Finally, he can attach the device to his arm again. He looks at the screen. Hello, Adam, it reads. It's me, your Marchenko. I'm inside here.